The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
There are dunks, and then there are dunks when you do them, you should just end the game. Vince Carter gift, it's over, game over. Also, the latest on Joel Embiid's knee, and Ramona Shelburne, Sarah Spain, Monica McNutt, Jackie McMullen, on highlight tweet versus getting the win. Yes! The beef that is tearing the WNBA asunder.
All in day's work, no different than the men.
We'll get to that in a second. James Harden, who was out, who was upgraded to doubtful, then re-upgraded to questionable, will reportedly play tonight, Game 5, Nets-Bucks. That's according to Shams Charania. Fascinating developments here. Not just that in Kyrie Irving is definitely out, but that Kevin Durant, who has a traumatic history with trying to play through a doubtful, questionable injury in the playoffs, also being a key protagonist here. Jackie McMullen, I say no more. Do you see Harden coming back tonight in a series that's 2-2 as a necessary or an unnecessary move?
Well, that's a loaded question, Tony.
That's the question.
And I'll be happy to answer it. I think in James Harden's mind, it's a necessary thing to do. It's the pivotal game five. They've got to win this game. They're without Kyrie Irving. I think he knows the numbers. I was just in Milwaukee with the Nets a few days ago, and Steve Nash told me the undisputed leader of this team is James Harden. He's the one that gets in guys' faces. He's the one that pushes them. He's the one that's been the facilitator to make this thing work. I think he comes back. It was tightness, remember. It wasn't a strain that kept him out. It was tightness. Yeah. Steve Nash had said independently of Kyrie Irving, he was going to do what was best for James Harden. But if you're Harden, are you kidding me? Remember the hamstring that kept him out of the finals the last time? He wants to play, and he's going to play.
Ramona Shelburne, same question to you. Necessary or unnecessary move? Or if you don't like those words, is this a wise decision for Brooklyn?
Look, you got to trust the athlete. If he tells you he can go, he can go, okay? And I just lived this movie, and I can't even believe I'm saying this because I saw Anthony Davis try this.
Exactly.
But that was just a couple of days after he did his groin injury. He's had a full week now. I mean, he's had some time. And generally speaking, I think you have to trust guys like James Harden who know their body. James has been a pretty durable athlete, and he understands what he can play through, what he can't. Plus, by the way, he doesn't necessarily get by on his athleticism. I mean, this is a guy who plays at a slower pace.
Okay, so he doesn't need a hamstring? Is that what you're telling us? A hamstring is optional?
Well, you need those, but maybe 80% is okay.
Okay, Sarah Spain, I'll bring you in here on the question about James Harden. Remember, Kevin Durant is on this team, and we saw Kevin Durant, and that just blew up the Warriors, and Durant's, you know, move to Brooklyn is because of that. Go ahead.
That's what I was going to say, is at any moment you could argue that a player is going to know their body best, or you can argue that we're in charge of protecting them from themselves. And in the case of Kevin Durant, we saw the worst case scenario. Now, hopefully, it is tightness and not a strain, and it won't cause any imbalances in Harden's body that could lead to an injury to another part that's more severe than simply a strain or a tear. But we don't know that. And in the case of whether it's absolutely super necessary, the answer is no, because the Bucks are so inconsistent. There is a chance for this Nets team to win without James Harden playing. If Giannis lets himself get pushed away from the basket, doesn't drive because he's afraid of missing free throws, if his supporting cast like Middleton doesn't show up, and if KD takes over. So is it necessary? No. And it is super risky.
Mm-hmm. Monica McNutt, it's all on the floor for you. Go ahead.
It is not necessary. I totally agree with that. But we understand that this team was put together to have an opportunity to go after a title game. And so if James Harden feels responsible to get on the floor, and if reports are accurate that he was unrestricted in shoot-around this morning, then fine. He's going to go, but can he play is an entire different question. And we'll see if he can make it through the duration of the ball game in an impactful way.
How will tonight be won, Monica?
Tonight will be one, I think, if KD has one of his best games as one of the best ball players on the planet. And I actually agree with Sarah that KD, to me, can get you one game. The rest of that supporting cast, yes, they have to hit shots. I think they can.
So you have Brooklyn at home because of Durant and the supporting cast playing at home. McMullen, how will tonight be won?
Wow. I think Durant can do it. I also believe Durant can do it. But it feels like I'm leaning towards the Bucks because of the uncertainty of this game and the injuries and everything.
Ramona.
How that affects their lineup.
I was going to pick Brooklyn no matter what. Even without Harden, I just think Steve Nash, Kevin Durant, they teed it up. They're not going to referee this game the same they did in Milwaukee. PJ Tucker's not going to get away with some of the stuff he did before.
Okay. All right. And Sarah Spade.
It's Milwaukee if they are coached right and they come out aggressively and they push Harden on the defensive
side
of the ball.
You've really put Budenholzer under the screws this week.
Well, deservedly so. And if defense is a lot of effort and you can't give that effort because you're hobbled, then take advantage of it.
Yeah.
We'll move on. Kawhi Leonard dunk last night. This was violent like John Wick. I mean, how the Clippers got whole at home in this series. Now we're 2-2. And the Jazz have to be hearing some voices in their head now. Monica McNutt, number one takeaway from Clippers 118, Jazz 104, and this series being even at 2.
Make this dunk a poster and NFT immediately, because that thing was nasty. But my bigger takeaway, honestly, has been the Clippers defensively. They literally, in the last two games, are flying around the court. They are getting in the Jazz faces. They're making it very difficult on Donovan Mitchell. But they're playing team defense 1 through 5. And I don't know if the defensive intensity has been credit to how well they've been able to shoot the basketball. So if the shots stop falling, does the defense lack? Or have they really bought into what they can do defensively to make it difficult for the Jazz?
You said something else before we sat down, Monica, about, well, with Conley not there and Mitchell being the only guy who's really good on the handle, everybody else is, you know, not playing that game, and the Clippers been able to exploit that.
100%. I mean, if we were playing AAU basketball, maybe the team that passed the ball and was most efficient would win. But this is the NBA playoffs, and we know that star power and the ability to create for yourself and your teammates matters.
Sarah Spain.
Yeah, but the thing that the Clippers have been doing is making the Jazz play a lot of one-on-one ball instead of being able to move the ball around. And they've also used that small ball lineup to force Gobert out of the middle, which has allowed them to drive into the paint and get dunks like that one you want to turn into an NFT. When you pull Gobert out, he can't be that presence inside. Right. And then they also have to make him move around on switches and everything else. They're playing really smart. But I've said this before about the Clippers. First they turn me into Tyra. Now I'm saying gaslighting. Manipulating someone to question their own sanity. That is what the Clippers are doing to us, because I don't understand why we can see a performance like that from them, and then another game you could see Paul George disappear. You could see the consistency and the focus gone.
Yeah.
I need to see this across multiple more games before I'm all of a sudden going to say the Clippers are my favorite. I don't know why I lost points for that.
Because you're reminding us the last time you talked about the Clippers, it was a one-laugh response from you, Sarah Spain, about their last series. So they won. They put it out there.
Prove me wrong.
Ramona Shelburne, that's why you're losing points. Where are you on Clippers evening this series last night?
Well, you know what? I have a fun assignment out here in Los Angeles covering Kawhi Leonard, because we get to write about a guy who is just wired different, man. Yeah. I mean, he has this dunk, okay? And I said to him after the game, I go, you know, you set social media buzz to where Joel Embiid actually stopped his press conference to remark about your dunk, right? Like, it was, and I said, I know you're not on social media. Did you see anything? He goes, actually, Ivica Zubac showed me the clip of Embiid. And I go, oh, okay, he actually saw it. He goes, but you know what? I have a next play mentality. Joe Ingles hit a three on the next play. I just put my head down. I can't get too caught up in it. We got to get better at that. That is why Kawhi is Kawhi. I mean, this guy, like, he is focused on the future, not about winning this series or the Western Conference Finals. He wants to win it all.
Jackie Mack, what did you see from the Clippers specifically last night and evening this series?
Well, someone mentioned the small ball lineup. The other thing that happens is when you pull Gobert out there, the first thing they did, what did? They got the ball to Marcus Morris, who was 1 for 16 from the three-point line. Now you're asking Gobert to keep up with him. He was 5 for 6 from the three-point line. And here's the thing about the Jazz. Without Mike Conley, all your pick-and-roll stuff goes poof. The other thing the Jazz love to do is they love to score baskets in transition. But when the Clippers are hitting the way they were, when George and Kawhi and all those guys are making shots, there's no transition baskets. And there's no pull-up three-pointers, and that's how the Jazz thrive.
Sarah, last word.
Yeah, interesting stat from Second Spectrum is that the two best shot games of the entire playoffs of any team were the Jazz against the Clippers in Game 2 and the Clippers against the Jazz in Game 3. So much of this series is who's hot at any given moment.
That's a good piece 100%. Of information. Jackie, you were so high on the Clippers last year. You thought they were going to win it all. Sarah, you've been so low on the Clippers, and now they're winning some games. And you're both right. You're both absolutely right. It's an amazing team to talk about. One last topic here, and it's the Philadelphia 76ers. Ramona, I know you've been working the phones all day. The latest on Joel Embiid, I want that from you. He was 0-12 in the second half. What's up with that knee and that missed layup with the game on the line? How Atlanta came back was how Philly let them come back. Here's the doctor with the diagnosis.
Hero basketball, you know, basically everybody wanted to be the hero instead of just trusting the team, trusting each other. So you, when you do that, you usually lose, especially when the other team outworks you the whole game.
Ba-boom. Ramona, what are you hearing with Embiid and Sixers' effort last night?
Well, look, Joel wants to play. He's trying to get out there. He knows he's the leader of this team. He wants to get out there. Everyone around him is saying, stay in the locker room, man. Just give it a game. And I think that he's going to play. He's going to be out there in game five. He wants to be carrying this team. But everybody around him is saying, hey, be smart, man, because you could tell on that last play. He couldn't even jump.
So he's not well. That's what you're hearing. But he's going to play through it. Yeah. Jackie, hearing Doc Rivers call out the team's effort made you think what?
Made me think he was correct. There's no way they should have lost this basketball game. Did you see how bad the Atlanta Hawks were coming out of the gate here? Speaking of injuries, yep. Trae Young has got a bad shoulder. You could tell he was affected by it. He missed two free throws, Tony. He's like almost a 90% free throw shooter. So he was bothered in the early going. But guess what? It didn't matter. The Hawks chipped away in the second half, and the Sixers let them. This is a bad game for the Sixers to lose.
Monica McNutt, losing a game like this, does this change the way you view this Sixers team?
A little, yeah. I thought we saw in game two and in game three that the Sixers were locked in. They were going to and through Joel Embiid, and Ben Simmons was taking advantage of his size. But even as that lead ballooned as we went to halftime, I remember thinking, this Atlanta Hawks team is going to cut this thing to double digits. I didn't expect them to win the basketball game, but the idea that a team that is so young, fiery, with length and great shooting, come on now, threes are more than twos. They were never completely out of that game.
Yeah, but the fascinating thing about that, Monica, is that the Hawks shot 39%. Trae Young was 8 for 28, and they still won this game because that's how much the Sixers couldn't put him away and how much they depend on Embiid, that he was 0 for 11 in the second half. And at the end of the game, when he's got no lift in his legs, they still go to him because they ain't going to Simmons, who doesn't want any of that at the end of the game. Who else can they go to when Embiid is hobbled?
Or Tony. Yeah. Tony, four turnovers.
Yeah.
That's what the Atlanta Hawks had.
That's
four.
Yep.
Taking a break here. We got some breaking news in break time, though. Look at this release. It's from the Olympics. Oh. Who's on the call for basketball?
Yes. Huzzah!
Monica McNutt. Oh, I love celebrating this. Alongside our friend, Kate Scott, Olympic bonus here. You make points when you make the Olympics, right?
Yeah.
And I don't mean to say congrats, Monica, because you earned this 1,000%. But I will say, good on you for making people see you and being who you always are, yourself. The freaking Olympics.
Thanks, Tom.
We'll be back.
Yes. Shout out, Kate Scott.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
Whether you celebrate the highlight or you celebrate the win, this is a great story. Skylar Diggins-Smith versus the New York Liberty. Here's what happened. Bleacher Report posted the play. Jasmine Jones of the Liberty took offense that the focus was on Skylar putting Dee Dee Richards, her teammate, on skates when the Liberty won the game. And a whole lot of heat came out of that. responses to those. Everybody's getting heat here, all right? Sarah, whose side are you on here?
I'm on the side of Sydney Colson, who was one of those responses who said, if you got your ankle snatched but your team got the W, you still got your ankle snatched. And why are we coming at Skylar Diggins-Smith? She didn't post this, and this is all coming from an anger about the focus that the Liberty and the rest of the WNBA media is giving to Sabrina Ionescu, a white player, over some of the talented black players. This is a much bigger conversation. Leave Skylar out of it.
That is a great point, Sarah. We're going to have that conversation, actually. Let's have that conversation in a second. First, Monica Mignot, whose side are you on?
Listen, I've got on my emoji top. I'm ready for the spicy lady with the dancing. I'm here for all of this. I will say that as much as I respect Skylar and she has been a tremendous competitor, remember, she was at the forefront of the movement of WNBA players sort of having their own brand apart from the game, right? And so it's easy for the rookie or the second year player, I should say, Jasmine Jones, to think, oh, this is some of the Skylar famousness, when actually you should be talking about the fact that the Liberty got the win. So I respect Skylar's response, but I'm kind of here for these young players. Who are not afraid to challenge.
Jackie McMullen.
I'm here for all of it because I always hear all the time, like, well, women don't compete the same way as men. Yes, we do. We get mad. We talk trash. We have beef with one another. Sometimes we use bad words. Sometimes we post video that we shouldn't. All that is in play, and it should be in play. Get over it, America. We're no different than men competing, especially on this show today, as a matter of fact.
Ramona Shelburne.
Bring it on.
Yeah, Tony, I was on The Jump yesterday where we had an entire segment with Kyrie Irving breaking Thanasis and Antetokounmpo's ankles.
Of course.
And then we did a history of ankle breakers. We didn't care about who won the game. Okay, the Nets lost the game. But we played that. We did an entire segment on that. I'm here for it. I love it. I think we should see more. Skylar broke her ankles. Good. This should be a clip.
All right. I mean, have you paid attention to any NBA offseason? The pettiness is off the charts. So, I mean, of course. Let's have this conversation you opened the door to, Sarah Spain, all right? And how women's sports in general, the WNBA, has been marketed in the past. Now, that is relying on certain preconceived notions of women's sports and, in fact, sexism both in this industry, sports writing and sports reporting, and beyond, and how leagues market themselves. So when you take it all into consideration, Sarah, what's the thing that jumps out to you in this instance?
Well, people have been talking about this for a bit, but it came to the forefront again because Lindsey Gibbs' great newsletter, Power Plays, talked about it and actually highlighted with numbers the discrepancies in the media. I don't want to take away from players like Breanna Stewart, Sue Bird, that were on a winning team and happened to be white and were the MVP, but there is also absolutely an argument for some of the best players in the league being black and not getting the same shine from ESPN and from every other media outlet and the league itself. It's something we have to acknowledge and notice so that we can change it intentionally going forward.
And in that piece by Lindsey Gibbs, correct me if I'm wrong here, Sarah, she looked at the 10 most marketed players in League 5, and were white, 5 were black. Is that how she? Monica McNutt.
The best players in the league.
Yes,
the best players in the league with top 10 were half white, half black, but the way they recovered was not the same.
Monica, you addressed this before, but Skylar Diggins is a player who has been promoted incredibly well. And Sabrina Ionescu is a player who's been promoted incredibly well. Did you sense that the Liberty were saying, well, what about us? We've played some great basketball on our own this year.
Yeah, and I think Jasmine Jones was actually pointing out that Benaja Laney deserves to be getting much more mainstream public awareness than she is because she's having a tremendous season and certainly is on pace to be an all-star. Listen, the league is continuing to grow, and like Sarah said, as media, we can all do our part. I thought Courtney Williams had a great post this week where she talked about not just being a role model, but being a real model in terms of being a woman that competes in the WNBA, both who she is on and off the court.
Yes, that was about Pride Month, but it applies to her person completely, Ramona Shelburne.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, look, some of this is real simple. What did we do before the segment? I said, hey, how do we pronounce Benaja's name? How do we pronounce that? I've known how to pronounce Sabrina Ionescu's name for a long time, and it's a tough spelling too, okay? So we need to do a better job of that. Ari McDonald had to hold up a sign saying, this is how you pronounce my name. So let's work on that, and I think we can move a lot forward.
And Jackie Mack does too.
Yeah, and there's no question that coverage should be colorblind. It took the NBA a long time to get to that point, too. Yeah. So again, the WNBA is no different. But don't pick on Sabrina. I don't think she brought this on. I don't think their beef is with Sabrina, the player.
She's marketable. She's marked the triple doubles and everything.
Of course.
She's marketable.
Well, what we've seen here is social 100%. Media also. Players can market themselves, and that's what has given this. Because, Jackie, you mentioned that the NBA took time to grow. Every male's league took time to grow, and now we're at 25 for the WNBA. Their growth is now, if you look at the chart, going off the charts. It takes time, but it also takes a change in how people see it. We got to say goodbye to Jackie Mack, and I know that throat's been sounding like Doc Rivers today a little bit, but it's beautiful in some ways. Thank you for that.
I'm coming back with my young players, and I'm signing my son to a 10-day as soon as I'm done with this.
Shelburne McNutt, so give good. Me the dancing emoji
like
again, Monica.
Every day.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
The one and only showdown today. NBA's plan to change the rule next year and eliminate the Trae Young, James Harden, Chris Paul, Steph Curry, and Luka Doncic. I mean, who am I kidding? I can name every player in the league because everybody does this now. The Herc and Jerk, unnatural jump shot motion to draw a foul. Ramona Shelburne, Monica McNutt, well-earned showdown appears today for both of you. Good luck. Ramona, does the league have this right, trying to get rid of the unnatural motion shot?
Yeah, they can try. But they're going to try, and then the stars are going to adjust again, and there's going to be a different kind of unnatural motion. So, okay, we'll see you next year. Mm-hmm. Good luck, refs.
Monica?
I hate this, Ramona and Tony. I absolutely hate it. I think you're now encroaching upon the creativity of players in terms of being able to make the game work for them. And then, honestly, if this is designed to speed the game up, what happens when coaches want to review this and now we're entering a subjectivity field where it's up to each official, and then we're going to be looking at Chris Paul versus Scott Foster as more reasons of why Chris Paul doesn't win when Scott Foster referees his game because he makes this call. I hate it.
Tell us how you really feel, Monica. Wow. I mean, great performance today from both of you, but Monica's getting 30 seconds of FaceTime.
Oh, man. Thank you guys, my esteemed fellow panelists, for shouting me out for the Olympics deal. But the thing that means the most to me is to continue to pave the way for other women, young women like myself, in the same way that you guys have done for me. So with this FaceTime, I want to shout out Pepper Parsley, who does a tremendous job of covering the WNBA at, I believe, the age of 7. Sorry if I got your age wrong, Pepper. But she also joined the Dallas Clippers, or the Dallas Mavs and Clippers broadcast Game 5 as a sideline reporter for the Team Kid Friendly broadcast. Pepper, keep up the great work. Soon you'll be calling the Olympics too, girl.
Pepper Pursley, a name to remember. 10 years of age, Pepper is.
Oh, there it is.
I think she's ready for the show.
Yeah, I think I'm going to take off. I'm going to take off the rest of the week. Can we get Pepper to be in this spot?
That'll probably handle it.
We're at 23.5 hour
no
break.
No mercy, Pepper.
Tremendous
no
show
no
for
mercy.
You guys today. We'll see you all tomorrow.
Babe's coming for you.
That's great.